Turning to Judges 19, we turn to one of the darkest chapters in all of the Bible. If Judges chapter 19 was a video today, a movie, it would need a warning sticker that reads, "Warning, the content that you are about to read may be disturbing to some individuals. Viewer discretion is advised." If Bible chapters had ratings like movies today, this chapter would be a rated R for sure. In fact, some commentators recommend not reading this chapter because it conveys so much graphic and distasteful elements. And to an extent, I understand that line of reasoning. Reading and studying the events over the past several days has disturbed my soul. It causes disappointment, frustration, righteous anger, and grief. And I believe that God wants us to be disappointed, frustrated, angered, and grieved by what we read in this account. God, in His sovereign wisdom, chose to record these circumstances that are in Judges chapter 19 so that we might learn from them. Remember the words of Paul to Timothy. "All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable. The truth has been divinely given to us through the Bible so that we might be reproved, so that we might be rebuked, corrected, and instructed." Paul also says that whatsoever things were written aforetime was written for our learning. They were written for our admonition. So as dark as this chapter may be, God, in His infinite wisdom, decided that this is a chapter that we must learn from. The details of this chapter demonstrate the truth of Jeremiah 17:9, that the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Not wicked, but desperately wicked. The details of this chapter show how one's sinful decisions can snowball into other sinful decisions and then devastating consequences. The events of this chapter reveal that what can take place when men live for self rather than God is a dark, dark season. That's the key of our chapter. That's the key theme of this chapter, Judges 19. When men live for self rather than God. That's the title of my message. And that's the guide that we're going to follow as we consider the text this evening. So let's read the chapter in its entirety and reflect upon the truths that God wants us to understand. Judges chapter 19, beginning in verse number 1. "And it came to pass in those days, when there was no king in Israel, there was a certain Levite sojourning on the side of Mount Ephraim, who took to him a concubine out of Bethlehem, Judah. And his concubine played the whore against him, and went away from him unto her father's house to Bethlehem, Judah, and was there for whole months. And her husband arose, and went after her, to speak friendly unto her, and to bring her again, having his servant with him, and a couple of donkeys. And she brought him into her father's house, and when the father of the damsel saw him, he rejoiced to meet him. And his father-in-law, the damsel's father, retained him, and he abode with him 3 days. So they did eat and drink and lodged there. And it came to pass on the fourth day, when they arose early in the morning, that he rose up to depart. And the damsel's father said unto his son-in-law, Comfort thine heart with a morsel of bread, and afterward go your way. And they sat down and did eat and drink, both of them together. For the damsel's father had said unto the man, Be content, I pray thee, and tarry all night, and let thine heart be merry. And when the man rose up to depart, his father-in-law urged him. Therefore he lodged there again. And he arose early in the morning on the fifth day to depart. And the damsel's father said, Comfort thine heart, I pray thee. And they tarried until afternoon, and they did eat, both of them. And when the man rose up to depart, he and his concubine and his servant and his father-in-law, the damsel's father, said unto him, Behold, now the day draweth toward evening. I pray you, tarry all night. Behold, the day groweth to an end. Lodge here, that thine heart may be merry, to go and tomorrow get you early on your way, that thou mayest go home. But the man would not tarry that night, but he rose up and departed, and came over against Jabus, which is Jerusalem. And there were with him two donkeys saddled. His concubine also was with him. And when they were by Jabus, the day was far spent. The servant said unto his master, Come, I pray thee, and let us turn into this city of the Jebusites, and lodge in it. And his master said unto him, We will not turn aside hither into the city of a stranger. That is not of the children of Israel. We will pass over to Gibeah. And he said unto his servant, Come, and let us draw near to one of these places to lodge all night in Gibeah or in Ramah. And they passed on and went their way, and the sun went down upon them when they were by Gibeah, which belongeth to Benjamin. And they turned aside thither to go in and to lodge in Gibeah. And when he went in, he sat him down in a street of the city, for there was no man that took them into his house to lodging. And behold, there came an old man from his work out of the field at even, which was also of Mount Ephraim. And he sojourned in Gibeah, but the men of the place were Benjamites. And when he had lifted up his eyes, he saw a wayfaring man in the street of the city. And the old man say, Whither goest thou, and whence comest thou? And he said unto him, We are passing from Bethlehem, Judah, toward the side of Mount Ephraim. From thence am I. And I went to Bethlehem, Judah, but I am now going to the house of the Lord. And there is no man that receiveth me to house. Yet there is both straw and provender for our donkeys, and there is bread and wine also for me and for thy handmaid and for the young man which is with thy servants. There is no want of anything. And the old man said, Peace be with thee. Howsoever, let all thy wants lie upon me. Only lodge not in the street. So he brought him into his house and gave provender unto the donkeys, and they washed their feet and did eat and drink. Now, as they were making their hearts merry, behold, the men of the city, certain sons of Belial, beset the house round about and beat at the door, and spake to the master of the house, the old man, saying, Bring forth the man that came into thine house, that we may know him. And the man, the master of the house, went out unto them and said unto them, Nay, my brethren, nay, I pray you, do not so wickedly, seeing that this man is come into mine house. Do not this folly. Behold, here is my daughter, a maiden, and his concubine. Them will I bring out now, and humble ye them, and do with them what seemeth good unto you. But unto this man do not so vile a thing. But the men would not hearken to him. So the man took his concubine, and brought her forth unto them. And they knew her, and abused her all the night until the morning. And when the day began to spring, they let her go. Then came the woman in the dawning of the day, and fell down at the door of the man's house where her lord was, till it was light. And her lord rose up in the morning, and opened the doors of the house, and went out to go his way. And behold, the woman, his concubine, was fallen down at the door of the house, and her hands were upon the threshold. And he said unto her, Up, let us be going. But none answered. Then the man took her up upon a donkey, and the man rose up and gat him unto his own place. And when he was come into his house, he took a knife and laid hold on his concubine and divided her together with her bones into 12 pieces, and sent her into all the coasts of Israel. And it was so that all that saw it said, There was no such deed done nor seen from the day that the children of Israel came up out of the land of Egypt unto this day. Consider of it, take advice, and speak your minds. As I mentioned, the theme of the passage is what transpires when individuals choose to live for themselves rather than God. And this has been the backdrop of the book of Judges. Judges chapter 17, verse 6. In those days there was no king in Israel, but every man did that which was right in his own eyes. And this is what we will read in the concluding chapter, Judges chapter 21, verse 25. In those days there was no king in Israel. Every man did that which was right in his own eyes. And that which has come to pass in Judges chapter 19 has come to pass because man is doing what is right in his eyes rather than in the Lord's eyes. We open up Judges chapter 19 and notice the first word. And it came to pass in those days when there was no king in Israel. Now, while it does not state that every man did which was right in his own eyes, we certainly read from the account that those in the passage could be described in such a way. And this is what happens when man lives for self. Self becomes the god that they worship. Self becomes more interested in promoting one's happiness, one's prosperity, one's self-image, rather than pursuing the commandments of God. When men live for self, they become hard-hearted, covetous beasts who are willing to suppress the truth of God in unrighteousness so that their earthly appetites are fulfilled. This is precisely what we see in the passage. We have men willfully drinking down the poison of self. We have men who are drunk with themselves. And such a poison always leads to self-destruction. In verses 1 through 23, we read of the poison of sinful self-satisfaction. In verses 24 and 25, we read of the poison of sinful self-satisfaction. Preservation. And in verses 26 through 30, we read of the poison of sinful self-delusion. Let's look at these point by point. We begin first by looking at the poison of sinful self-satisfaction. In the life of the Levite, verse 1, the Bible says that there was a certain Levite. We are not given his name, but we are told that this is one who is to be knowledgeable of the scriptures. This is one who knows better. This is one who is in Israel, and not only among the nation, but he is of the tribe, the Levitical tribe of the high priest. There's a Levite who takes unto himself a concubine. And we ask the question, what is the Levite doing taking unto himself a concubine? The answer, class, self-satisfaction. A concubine is a woman who functioned as a second wife. Sometimes her main purpose was to give physical pleasure to the man who obtained her. And we see in the scriptures many times concubines were used to bear children for men whose wives were not able. They were almost as purchased slaves. They did not obtain the level of a wife, but in a sense there was almost the provision that the wife had, but not the intimate relationship. Well, having concubines became a common practice among the patriarchs in Israel. Nowhere in Scripture does God give his stamp of approval to such relationships. In fact, if you are to read the lives and circumstances of Abraham, Jacob, Saul, David, and Solomon, you will find that many of their problems stemmed from such unbiblical and unholy relationships. Every time there is drama in the home because those men were not following the God-ordained way of marriage. This is because from the beginning of time, God's ordained way of marriage was set to be between one man and one woman for one lifetime. And this Levite tells us that he, by his name, should be knowledgeable of God's words and God's way. But this Levite willfully kicks against the clear commandment of the Lord, taking unto himself a concubine. Why? So that he might be physically satisfied. He is not seeking the will of God when he takes this concubine. He is seeking the will of himself because he is his own God. Look at the self-satisfaction also in the concubine, verse 2. And his concubine played the whore against him. The Spirit of God really wants us to understand the depth of the depravity here. The Levite is not the only one living for self and seeking after self-satisfaction. The concubine is seeking her own self-satisfaction. The Levite played the whore against God, and his concubine played the whore against him. We ask the question that Proverbs 6 asks. Can a man take fire in his bosom and not be burned? Can one go upon hot coals and his feet not be burned? He was, in a sense, burning God by his disobedience, and now he is burned by another's disobedience. This concubine does what she does because her main desire in life is self-satisfaction. She is not satisfied with the Levite, so she is going to seek satisfaction in other men. You see here that their relationship with one another is a disaster. And why is it a disaster? Because God is not the focal point in their lives. God is not their God. Physical intimacy is their God. And when people live for self rather than God, this is what you get. You get a big dramatic mess. Now, if the Levite was truly spiritual, you would expect him to fall on his face. He's taken a concubine, disobeying the word of the Lord. The concubine has cheated upon him. You would have thought he would have been awakened in his conscience, and being awakened in his conscience, he would have fell on his face before God, acknowledged his sin, asked God for forgiveness, and strived to honor the Lord with his life, pursuing holiness. But we read of no such thing. What does he do? Well, the concubine ends up back at her father's house, and after 4 months, the Levite finds her and desires to bring her back home. And what do we find the father of the concubine doing? Wining and dining the Levite. Notice verse 4. As his father-in-law, the damsel's father, retained him, and he abode with him 3 days, so that they did eat and drink and lodged there. And it came to pass on the fourth day, when they arose early in the morning, that he rose up to depart. And the damsel's father said unto his son-in-law, notice it, comfort thine heart with a morsel of bread, and afterward go your way. Look at the end of verse 6. Let thine heart be merried. The Levite is concerned with one thing. What is it? Self-satisfaction. The concubine is seeking one thing. What is she seeking? Self-satisfaction. The father of the concubine is seeking one thing. What is it? Self-satisfaction. All of them are wallowing in self-satisfaction. Notice there's no confrontation of wrongdoing by the father. There's no seeking of the Lord by anyone. There's eating and drinking and being merry, loving self and the pleasures of this life more than God. The Levite is a partier. He is fulfilling the lust of the flesh. He is living for the here and now. But then verse 7 we read, trying to leave the fifth day, the girl's father says, stay, comfort your heart again. Let your heart be married. But notice verse 10, the man would not tarry. He departed with his concubine and decided to spend the night in Gibeah, a city of Israel. All right, we've had our party. We've done our share. Now it's time to get going. And upon arriving in Gibeah, they have no place to stay. There's no welcoming spirit among their own people, no loving hospitality, which demonstrates the lack of spirituality among the people during that time. As the Levite and his concubine wait in the town square, finally an old man comes in from working in the field and then offers them a place to stay. And after receiving them in and doing what? Notice verse 22. Now as they were making their hearts merry, when they were pursuing such fleshly appetites, a mob of wicked men beat on the door and insisted that the old man unlock the doors so that they can be intimate with the Levite. Now we're still under the category of self-satisfaction. Look at the life of the homosexuals, verse 22. What do their actions demonstrate? Well, it demonstrates that Gibeah was a place of great wickedness and perversion. Israel was as bad as Sodom and Gomorrah. Homosexuals are raging like wild bears at the door of this man. They wanted to rape the Levite. And what are the homosexual men doing? Are they submitting themselves to the Lord's will? Are they trying to keep a godly testimony among their neighbors? No. They have absolutely no desire for the things of God. Their desires are the same problem of the Levite and his concubine, just in a different form. Their desires are for physically satisfying self. Now don't lose me, because all this describes humanity today. Turn on the television, listen to the news. What are we hearing but men satisfying self? Look at the pews. Come to church. Truly see among the multitudes how many are living for God and how many are seeking the pleasures of this life. Movies and music and relationships and advertisements, drugs and alcohol and parties and sports. This is the life of the world. This is what happens when man lives for himself. It becomes a sinful mess. Now let's ask ourselves this question. Does it appear that the blessing of God is on the life of this Levite? No, his concubine cheats on him and leaves him. He's unwelcomed in the city. And now being welcomed by one individual. Oh yeah, he's blessed now. Somebody opened his house. Well, now he's being hunted in the worst way. Does this sound like God is favorable toward his decision to take a concubine? No. I think God is letting him eat the fruit of his own ways. God's judgment is in his life. I want you to notice, secondly, the poison of sinful self-preservation. So we looked at the poison of sinful self-satisfaction. Let's look at the poison of sinful self-preservation. Again, we are taking note as to what takes place when man lives for himself, the characteristics of men who live for themselves. In verses 24 and 25, we see when man lives for himself, he is one who willfully neglects personal responsibilities and sees his own safety more important than the safety of others. Verses 24 and 25. These men come beating at the door. They desire the Levite. And what happens? Well, the homeowner comes and says, "Here's my daughter, maiden, take her." Don't even take my daughter, also take this man's concubine. I thought this man was being hospitable. Now he's offering this man's concubine. And brought her forth unto them. They knew her and abused her all night until the morning. And when the day began to spring, they let her go. What's going on? What's the problem? What is man doing? He's drinking the poison of self-preservation. The old man demands his own daughter. And we ask, how could a father do such a thing? to his precious angel. I don't care how much of a beast you are. You brought that daughter into the world. You provided for her. You protected her for all those years, and now you're willing to let her go in such a way. The Levites demand in verse 25. When the man would not hearken, the man was willing to give up his own concubine. He brings her forth, and they abuse her. And this is where I get righteously angered. Both men were willing to give up women they should have fought for. Both men should have sacrificed themselves from this angry mob at the door. But what was the problem? They were too focused on themselves. The older man should have been a good example to the younger man. Rather, he enables the younger man to fall in greater wickedness. Do you see the lack of spirituality? This older man should have encouraged the Levite to join him hand to hand and to protect these women. Lock the doors and be ready to fight. It's our duty in this nation to protect. God has created us to be such protectors. But they did the opposite. They were truly sissies. They were cowards of the worst sorts. And they were too drunk with self-preservation. Because all they could care about is themselves. This is what happened. This is what happens when man lives for himself rather than God. Now to notice the third point, verses 26 through 30. The poison of sinful self-delusion. Look at how hardened and heartless the Levite becomes. This woman is at the door of the house. And notice verse 27. Her Lord rose up in the morning. How did he sleep? Is his conscience so seared that he could sleep? I mean, he was the one that was wanting to be taken. That alone should keep one up from sleep. But not only that, now his concubine is dead and he's the cause of it. He never in 1,000 years thought he would be dealing with such a mess. But here he is, all because he justified taking unto himself a concubine. He leaves the house and says, up, let's go. No shock, no sadness, no concern, no seeking for comfort. He knows she's dead. He picks up her body and carries her home. No weeping, no calling on the Lord, no confession of sin. And when he arrives at home, he takes a knife and cuts her up into 12 pieces and sends her body parts throughout the land. He was seeking justice for the crimes against her from the perverse men in Gibeah, but he was to blame. He's self-deluded. He's self-deceived. How could one be so morbid and repulsive to do such a thing to anyone? Especially one with whom he was intimate with and spent his time and energy to go after her after she sinned against him and speak friendly with her. How could he do such a wicked, evil, ungodly, devilish thing? I'll tell you, because the heart is deceitful and desperately wicked. Who can know it? Listen to the news. Are there similar stories in our world, in our country, in our community? Let me give you an extreme example. Recently, we heard of a Saudi Arabian journalist who was murdered and dismembered like the concubine. Are we living in a different world? Quote from today's news. Headline, South Houston teen killed girlfriend and put her under the sink. Quote, headline, man escapes death penalty as he admits murder of pregnant wife and daughters. We could pull up several news articles that speak of sexual lust, sexual infidelity, homosexuality, not only in the world but also in the church. I know the temptation is to think, oh, that'll never happen to me. I'll never stray that far. Such things would never take place in our Christian circles. We're the good people. Adam never thought he would be deceived as he was. He never thought he would plunge the world into sin. David never thought he would give in to the sexual sins that he gave into and then murdering his own soldier. Solomon never thought that he would bow down to false gods. Never. In the account of 1 Kings chapter 1 through 10, never. Solomon is seeing the revelations of God. He is writing Proverbs. He is witnessing blessing after blessing. God had given him wisdom and riches and honor and life. And then he bows to false gods, to those gods who have eyes but they see not. They have ears but they hear not. They have mouths but they speak not. And there his heart goes away. And this is why the scripture warns us to take heed to ourselves lest we fall. And this is why we are called of God to keep our hearts with all diligence. Wrestle, fight the good fight of faith. Keep your hearts daily in the Word, because out of it are the issues of life. Where you point your heart, so will your life follow. And so we look at this as a mirror and ask ourselves, how are we living? For God or for self? The gospel call is a call to deny self. The gospel call is a call to deny the sinful pleasures of this life and to live obedient and holy lives. And true believers who are exposed to the Word of God know this, that God did not save us so that we can live in sin. Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. God saves us so that we might live for Him. 2 Corinthians 5:15, and that He died for all, that they which live should not henceforth live unto themselves, but unto Him. And how do we live? We live as a sacrifice, Romans chapter 12. Sacrifice unto God which is holy and acceptable. Not conformed to this world, but transformed by the renewing of our mind through the truth. The aftermath of the murdered concubine continues on into Judges 20, and we're going to look at that next week. But see the dangerous way, the dangerous path that most people in this world are traveling. And they're traveling on their path because they will not bow their hearts to the authority and kingship of Jesus Christ. They are like the devil. I will do what I want to do. I will be like the Most High. Pride, arrogancy, and it only leads to disaster. For tonight, let's respond in the following ways. Number one, let's refuse to practice anything that compromises the truth of Scripture. This all started because a Levite decided to compromise Scripture by taking unto himself a concubine. Not a big deal? Oh, we're going to see next week. It started a civil war. Let's respond also by speaking up and standing up for what's right, even though it means we may be uncomfortable or hurt by others. And sometimes in our lives, like this homeowner and like the Levite, we're afraid to do what's right because we want ourselves to be protected. We don't want others to call us name or to cuss us out. And we're afraid to stand up for truth or to speak truth. Let's also respond by continually living in prayer, continually living in the fear of the Lord, remembering that the eyes of the Lord are in every place, beholding the evil and the good. And let's leave remembering the words of Paul in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, 19 and 20. What? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost which is in you, which ye have of God, and ye are not your own? for ye are bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. Dark chapter. Hard truths. But they're really all not that far from what we see around us. What is it that's missing here? The gospel. True salvation. He has a form of religion. This Levite, he's no true Christian. He's doing that which is right unto his own eyes, and it's a habitual practice. We need to take heed to these truths so that we might live for the Lord.